Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. The second annual Pelotonia kicks off on Friday from the lawn of Chemical Abstracts. Some 4,020 riders are expected. That's of the count I saw on the website today. Joining us later to talk about cancer and the work being done at the OSU Comprehensive Cancer Center, James Cancer Hospital, and Solove Research Institute to fight cancer is Dr. Michael Caligari, CEO of the James and Solove Research Institute, and also two cancer researchers whose work already has benefited from the proceeds of the first Pelotonia last year. Right now, we're joined by Tom Lennox. He is the executive director of Pelotonia. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Thanks for having me, Ann.
There isn't the big draw of Lance Armstrong this year, and some folks were skeptical that you would not generate the same interest in Pelotonia this year. You've proved them wrong.
Well, fortunately, we have. I think most of our friends here in Central Ohio and beyond, actually from 35 states, see the big picture. And while this is a cycling experience, this really is about cancer advocacy, or cancer research advocacy, I think is better said.
So how do you think that you inspired people this year? Do you think, in other words, that last year, the 2,000 or so that showed up last year, was it all about Lance Armstrong then?
No, I don't. I think clearly Lance helped us reach people. But what it really came down to is people understanding the importance of funding cancer research. And, you know, our guests today will talk better about that than me. But The reality is we need more money. And what we did, I think, very effectively is invite them to participate and then deliver a very special experience to each of them. And what we've seen is they're coming back and they're bringing friends with them.
You lost a big backer last year in NetJets. How'd you make up for it? Because you did.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about that is the economy has affected everyone. Mm-hmm. So really what we had to do was just put our head down and look forward. We did so effectively with great leadership throughout our board. And we went out and developed relationships with Huntington, Limited Brands, Rich and Peggy Santulli. Rich Santulli is the founder and former chairman and CEO of NetJets.
Right.
This says a lot about him and his commitment to fight cancer. And in addition to that, AEP Nationwide and Chemical Abstracts stepped up in a very big way, too.
Because it's really important to the organization to have all of the proceeds go directly to cancer research.
I would say it's the cornerstone of our brand. I think it is very important. When we deliver a very special experience, that's what really creates this vibe, which is indistinguishable. And when we can then say, everything that you've raised, despite this great experience, despite the great food, the entertainment, and the SAG and safety support, despite all of those things, every penny you raise goes to research at OSU. What's better than that?
614-292-8513 if you want to give us a call, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. I was asking people to give us a call and or email us or go to Facebook, All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page, to tell us your Pelotonia story today, because one thing I've learned in preparing for this interview is Pelotonia is about stories. It's about real people. I love the website. You can go on there and you can read people's stories and why they were inspired to participate in Pelotonia. If you want, tell us why you were inspired or why you were inspired to contribute to one of the riders this weekend. Are there many return riders, Tom?
We're seeing north of 60% of our riders have returned already. There are a few days left. We'll figure a few more will trickle in. But that's really about what we thought would happen. Our friends up at Pan Mass up in Boston have been doing this for about 31 years, said, listen, if you break 50-50 in year one for a new event on alumni riders, you're doing it the right way. So we've been lucky.
Stories, like I said earlier, are a big part of this experience, and the website is constantly churning links to people's stories and their rides and the riders and their stories. Why did you do that? What is the inspiration for that?
Well, we all understand that cancer is a very emotional experience. Unfortunately, it's our competitive advantage, as I say. Our advantage is that cancer affects each of us, and while it's clearly a disadvantage, it gives us the opportunity to put on an experience, raise money in a grassroots way, and fund something which is just absolutely critical to each one of us.
614-292-8513. Give us a call and tell us your story. And Brian, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Oh, yes, thank you very much. Yeah, I worked, I'm an amateur radio operator, and we were partnered up with a first aid medical person last year in our SAG vehicles and enjoyed it very much. I have a personal connection to cancer with family members, and so I thought this was a great cause, and I plan on doing it again this weekend. Looking forward to it. But, yeah, they run a really great show or program, and I really enjoyed it, and it was great to see all the writers and hear their personal stories, connections to cancer and cancer research. So as long as I am physically able to help out, I plan on doing that. And, yeah, so I hope everyone comes out in full force, and just all I wanted to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. If you'd like to give us a call, dial 614-292-8513. I hate it when I age myself and say dial, so just poke the numbers, whatever works for you. In your writing profile, Tom, you say that you hesitate when discussing your health. And I thought that was interesting because even though you were given a clean bill of health yourself after surgery a few years ago, it's the disease is always with you.
Yeah, I mean, I was treated here at the James. I'm alive because of the physicians at the James, but cancer torments me. It torments most people that have dealt with it in a very significant way. And I don't know if I'm more superstitious as a cancer survivor than I was prior to, but it is something that's on my shoulder. I think about it every day. I think about it every hour. And it's what motivates me to do something like this. This is what I love to do. I absolutely believe this is what I was meant to do. And I'll continue to do it until we figure this out.
I hesitated to bring it up because you don't like the jinx factor, but I thought people ought to know that the guy at the top shares the stories.
Yeah, I share the story, the stories. I share the experience. I was diagnosed in June of 2007. I've been through just a very positive experience at the James. I had a checkup last week, and as I knock on wood or laminate or whatever this is, I had a clean scan. I don't like to often talk about that, but I did, and I hope to have many more for many years.
How many cancer survivors are on the trip this year?
We'll have between 250 and 300.
Is that a lot? Is that a lot more than last year or about the same?
It's about the same. Is it a lot? You know, that's a very, very good question. I've never really discussed this, but when I wrote up at the Pan Mass Challenge with Dr. Caligiuri 3 years ago, they had a similar number. They had about 250, and they had 6,500 riders versus our 2,265 riders last year and 4,000 plus this year. I found it very, I'd have to say, disturbing. It almost suggests to me that people aren't living longer with cancer and they're almost unable to ride. And I don't know if that's just the way I look at it, but clearly I'm fortunate. I've got a bunch of buddies who are new buddies who are survivors and are riding. I've met most of our survivors and continue to get to know them. But the reality is there are many cancer survivors. There are more than 200 to 300 in the area, and we, when possible, have to be a part of this. But I just think that number is sometimes depressing to hear because it suggests to me that people are definitely perishing from this disease.
614-292-8513. My guest is Tom Lennox. He's the executive director of Pelotonia. If you have a story about Pelotonia you want to share, you can call us. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can go to the All Sides of the Ann Fisher Facebook page and do it there if you want, whatever works for you. Pelotonia is a made-up word.
Pelotonia is a made-up word.
And you said in your writer profile that you love that.
I learned in a prior life that there are two ways to do things. One is you can, and in business that is, you can do it for less or you can do it differently. And Pelotonia is a way to do it very differently. The term Peloton has existed for many, many years. If you live in Europe where cycling is just a craze, if you will, you'll hear about the Peloton. If you watch the Tour de France or any of the other races for that matter, you'll hear about the Peloton. The Peloton is the group that rides together. Pelotonia is the made-up word. We added the IA. It is the state of the Peloton. And really what happens in the Peloton is everybody sticks together. We all benefit from the work, from the speed, from the drafting. When the community sticks together, each and every person doing his or her part, the sum of that contribution is likely $8 million this year. And that's a lot of money.
How many volunteers?
1,400. We have 1,400 volunteers. Our volunteers are totally committed to the cause. They are a huge part of the brand, and they are what makes Pelotonia a differentiated, again, differentiated, a differentiated experience. Every time I meet with them, I tell them they're the key to an emotional experience, to a good time. They take it very seriously. They work multiple shifts. They start in Columbus. They finish in Athens. They're totally committed to the cause.
Why do you think your background isn't in fundraising necessarily, although I'm sure you've done civic kind of fundraising along the way. But why do you think, from your experience in this now, that folks like to give this way?
I think it's easy. It's funny. I have some friends on the board of the James. One in particular has heard me say and cautioned me not to say it that, I say I'm not a fundraiser. I'm not a very good fundraiser, and I'm really not. I'm not really a development person. What I do know is that this disease is personal to me. I know how to ride a bike, and I know how to take, hopefully, I know how to take very good care of people. And I know the opportunity, and I know that when you use email and you call on your friends and family and you ask them to make $20 donations here or there, a $50 donation, a $100 donation is a huge donation. These donations can be made. When you add them all up, we can do something very, very, very special. And I get that.
And obviously other people do too, because people like to feel connected and feel like they're actually doing something.
Whether it's donating, riding, volunteering, or lining the street and clapping and cheering for the riders, which we need and makes each of our riders feel like a rock star, and it does, and it brings tears, there is something for everyone. And everyone wants to be a part of this. And that's the beauty of this movement. Everyone can be a part of it.
Are you still looking for volunteers?
I think we're all set. I mean, we never say no. Actually, I take that back. We need volunteers in Athens. We need volunteers in Athens. Okay. And if you're interested, call the office, 221-6100. We'll have you, and we need you.
We'll post the phone number. We'll post the links. Anything you need to know about Pelotonia, we'll have on our website, wosu.org/allsides. Finally, there are virtual riders. Can they people still sign up for that?
Absolutely. The virtual rider is an opportunity for us going forward. Not everyone can get on a bicycle, although the shortest ride, which my 12-year-old is riding this year, is 23 miles. But if for some reason you can't be here, you can't ride, you can't borrow a bike, you can virtual ride. And that's very important because we think there's enormous opportunity for just about everyone to just sign up. If you raise $10 or $20, that's 10 or 20 more than we had before you signed up. And that will go to good use, every penny.
I want to say thank you to Tom Lennox. If you'd like to stay, you're welcome to, as we continue our discussion about Pelotonia and the research that it has funded already after 1 year. Coming up will be Dr. Michael Caligiuri, and also he's a president and CEO of OSU James Cancer Hospital, and also Dennis Guttridge. He is an associate professor of medical genetics at Ohio State University. We're also still interested in your stories about Pelotonia. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have one from Tim on Twitter right now. If you'd like to go to Ann Fisher, at Ann Fisher, WOSU, you can talk to us there. Tim writes, hard to believe that almost a year has passed since my 1,000-mile bike ride and Pelotonia 2009. So, yes, doesn't time fly? We'll be right back on All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Tom Ashbrook, coming up on the next On Point, epic flooding in Pakistan, a fifth of the country underwater. We'll look at the pain and politics of the flood. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
And On Point begins at 1 o'clock this afternoon right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. And good morning. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's 72 degrees in downtown Columbus at 1020 this morning. Cloudy skies today, clearing a little bit this afternoon. There is also a slight chance of rain and a high of 83. Clear skies tonight, a low of 63 degrees.
Support for WOSU comes from The Other Paper, Columbus's news and entertainment weekly, on newsstands every Thursday and online at theotherpaper.com.
All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is WOSU 820, NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking about Pelotonia right now. And joining us now is Dr. Michael Caligiuri. He's CEO of the OSU Comprehensive Cancer Center, James Cancer Hospital, and Solove Research Institute. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Ann.
Pelotonia was needed because the usual funds for cancer research were drying up.
Pretty much so. If you look at the national or federal funding for cancer for the last 5 to 7 years, it's completely flat. And that means with inflation, it actually goes down. And if you do the calculations, we're down about 22 cents on a dollar. So every dollar that a researcher gets today, he's actually got or she actually has about 78 cents. Instead of a dollar to spend. So we're actually moving in the wrong direction.
My sense, too, is that the volume of research is increasing. So the pie is actually getting bigger, too.
Well, what's happening is that we realize cancer is not one disease. If one has lung cancer, there are likely 50 causes. So that lung cancer pie gets split, say, into 50 different researchers working on 50 different causes that require 50 different treatments, which may sound insurmountable to people, but in fact it isn't. In fact, we've got definitive proof that it isn't, that as soon as you get down to that cause, you can target it and you can either prevent or cure that cancer. So it's a very, very exciting time. But it is getting more complex and it does require more funding.
So last year, about $4 million from Pelotonia. How are the pros? And this year they're expecting about $8 million, twice as much. How are the proceeds divvied up? How is that decided?
Well, we decide, first of all, everything we do is done by what's called peer review. No one person says, boy, Ann, I think what you're doing is great and what I'm doing is great and, you know, what the other person's doing isn't so great. What we do is we have our peers that are not participating in the competition for the money. So what we do is we tell our investigators there's going to be a competition. We're looking for the best ideas in one instance or in another instance, the best students. We're looking for the best ideas that we think are breakthrough ideas that the government is not likely to fund yet with a big grant, but we can give you a moderate size grant to get it going so you can get that big grant and proceed with that breakthrough. We call them idea grants. And so we had many, many people applying for these, but we took our best scientists that weren't applying and put them together on a team to review all of these grants and to score them independently, and then to provide me with that list, that prioritization. So it's done what we call a peer review process, trying to fund the best, having the best review those grants.
As far as the fellowships go, why is it difficult for faculty researchers to recruit talented students? It's a big university. It's internationally known. Why is that difficult?
Well, there are two reasons. I think the first reason is that is what we talked about earlier, the lack of funding that's coming into the system. The flat line of funding means, and scientists like myself that continue to work, means essentially there's no new money for someone who wants to come into the field. So you want to come into the field and, you know, I'm still getting the grants that I get and there's no new money. How does Ann Fisher get funded? Students see that. And despite, you know, incredible interest and enthusiasm, when they see that there's no hope for a career in cancer research, you know, it becomes, I better think of something else. You know, I've got bills to pay. And they actually move out of the field. So this ability of Pelotonia to fund tens of students, and we're funding undergraduate, graduate, mm-hmm. postdoctoral students with new money is incredibly exciting. And what's coming out of the woodwork, the ideas and the students, it's really, really exciting.
If you took science out of that equation, you would think you were talking about newspaper journalists there for a second.
It's a problem, yeah. You know, people get turned off when they don't see the path to success. So So this is the support that our riders are giving us and our volunteers and our sponsors of riders is inspirational for our students and certainly our researchers.
614-292-8513. My guest is Dr. Michael Caligiuri. He is president and CEO of OSU James Cancer Hospital. There's a really long name that goes with that, and we'll just keep it at the James right now.
The Soloff Research Institute is very important.
Richard
Soloff is an amazing supporter
of
our cancer program.
It is very important. The OSU Comprehensive Cancer Center, James Cancer Hospital, and Soloff Research Institute. So I think what's interesting is that these fellowships do span the gamut from undergrads to grads to doctoral.
Mm-hmm.
Is that unusual, though?
You know, when I asked Gustavo Leone, who's one of our top scientists, to head this program, I said, you know, just do your thing. And it was, I think, he's assembled a phenomenal team of scientists to oversee this program. And they really gave it a lot of thought. Another Jan Kuechel Glaser, another top scientist, is co-director of this. And I just said, do your thing. We want to give at least $1 million the first year and $2 million the second year to student. And they went for it. And you know what's really neat? I thought this is a brilliant idea. It goes across the entire campus. It doesn't matter if you're in communications, if you're in the law school, if you're in the business school. If you're thinking about something that could help prevent or cure cancer, you are eligible. And in fact, we've funded kids from all over the university, so it's very exciting.
I read about one who made a documentary.
Exactly.
About cancer.
Yes. I think that student was a former cancer – is a cancer survivor,
right.
Former cancer patient. And I didn't review the application. My understanding is made a documentary to then inspire those, you know, going through the treatment and then to look at outcomes in a very objective, measured way. Does this help? Because we know, of course, the spirituality, the decreased stress all have an influence on one's healing. So it's been great, and it goes all the way from undergraduate to postdoctoral researchers. And with the postdoctoral researchers, in the next several years, what we'll do is we'll evolve to a system where the postdoctoral researchers must come from the outside. So in other words, this is a way to attract the best and brightest from around the world here to Ohio State University by advertising our Pelotonia Fellowship grants in the international journals.
Those haven't kicked in yet?
They have kicked in.
Okay.
We expect in the first year, given that the money is ready, that at least half of those postdoctoral fellowships will be from within and another half will be from without. So one of the things that Jan and Gustavo have thought of is really attract new talent to the city, to the university. They bring their families. They bring their children. They add tremendously to our community and often stay as faculty members. So that's what we'll be doing in the future.
The IDEA grants, the need for those came around because they're basically more high risk, and particularly in this contracting financial environment.
Exactly.
Because they're more high risk, there was less investment in them. But because they're high risk, there'll be more failures. So I was kind of wondering about the outcomes measurement on that.
Right.
How do you fairly judge that?
Right. No, it's a great question. So first of all, when one goes after an NIH grant or grant from the National Cancer Institute, in general, one has to have about 50% of the work completed or you won't get the grant. I mean, the federal government has a relatively conservative approach. They want to fund things that our peers, and they're reviewed by people like myself, our peers think this is a very, very safe bet that they're going to get to where they want to go. On the other hand, we kind of know where they're going to go. It could be very good, very exciting, but because 50% of it's done, you kind of know where it's going to go. That doesn't leave a lot of room for the aha, you know, Nobel Prize, out of thin air came this idea when I was driving one night on my way home. Yet that is where it all starts. One does need what we call seed money to get that 50% of the work done. And that's what this does. It's really a starter grant for what we think our peers review them, what we think are really, really good ideas. And the outcomes measurement will be, did they then get funded by the National Institute of Health, by the National Cancer Institute, when they get 50% of the work done? So in other words, can I take this aha idea, I've got it, get about 50% of the work done in a year or two, and then apply for these big grants that are well over $1 million each and, you know, and then bring the project to completion. So our outcome will not only be publications, and treatments, but it'll also be funding from the National Institute of Health and from the National Cancer Institute. So there's a very easy way to tell, are we picking what we think are the winners?
You can Twitter us at Ann Fisher, WOSU, or you can call us at 614-292-8513. We'd love to hear your Pelotonia stories today. Mike, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks very much. I'm driving, and so I apologize if this is brief, but I just wanted to weigh in to support this entire venture, and I'll name a couple ways. I'm a prostate cancer survivor, and I rode last year for the initial Pelotonia. In fact, Michael, I rode alongside you and chatted a bit on one of the old men's hills that were very slow.
Were we walking or were we riding?
We were still riding, but walking was just around the corner.
Yes.
And I wanted to say that was a really illuminating ride. The community of riders is a spectacular thing, and the chance to hear about what the payoff matters too. I'm in a support group at the James, so I've seen things happen there. I've got among our kids a couple who have received postdoctoral support, initial seed money support of the type you were describing before, so subsequently they could do work. They're immunologists on NIH-funded larger stuff, and I know the critical need for bringing new talent in. So I just wanted to say the payoff is enormous, and the community of caring is one that I'm really glad to see grow so much this year. So my curiosity will be, are you going to ride to Athens again or not? And I'll take the call off the air.
Oh, yeah.
All the way
and back. I'm riding to Athens and going to be riding up to Slate Run on 180 miles. Going to do my thing. But I really appreciate your comments. This is how we will ultimately create a cancer-free world. I mentioned in the beginning, Anne, that cancer has likely over 1,000 causes. You think about something like HIV, and if you remember in the early 80s, devastating everyone. You got the diagnosis. It was just a matter of months before you were in the hospital dying of an infection or a malignancy, and everyone died. Think today. None of us really know, or very, very few of us know, anyone in the hospital with HIV infection today. And why is that? That's because of two things. First, research. We put a lot of money into research. The community got involved, academia got involved, industry got involved, the government got involved. And look where we are today. Virtually no one is in the hospital. One can be diagnosed with HIV today and have a prognosis of over 2 decades. It's really amazing. More work to be done, but we've prevented maternal fetal transmission in this country. One is diagnosed, and you're taking some pills and you're on your way in a relatively normal life. So it's just phenomenal progress from research, and there's more to do. The other thing is that AIDS has one cause. It's one virus. And so we could really, once we found that virus, we could sequence the DNA of the virus. We could figure out how it folded. We could design drugs to treat it. And there was a big prize for industry if you did design those drugs. And so it was a phenomenal attack on a single cause. Cancer is different only in that there are likely, as I say, there are over 100 different cancers and 1,000 different causes. And so we have to think of them, each one, as an HIV. So we will get there, just like we did with HIV and continue to. We will get there. But it takes money, it takes time, and most importantly, and I'm saying this to our riders and our supporters, it takes commitment. We have to be committed. Think of where we were 30 years ago. No one lived with cancer. Tom mentioned we have 250 riders. We've got over 1,000 survivors coming Friday night to the celebration. I mean, there are 12 million people today surviving, living successfully, cured of cancer in America. And in another 30 years, this could be a cancer-free world if we remain committed.
But there are how many people diagnosed with cancer every year?
Oh,
amazing number.
500,000. I mean, it's huge. There's no question that 1 out of 2 men and 1 out of 3 women will be diagnosed with cancer in their lifetime. And that excludes the relatively benign skin cancers that
basals.
One gets. Yeah, and squamous cell. That excludes that. So this is it's going to be the number one killer by the end of 2010 in the world, and can combine many things like HIV and malaria, et cetera. It's just going to be huge. It is huge right now. But like I say, with supporting research through things like Pelotonia, we will develop technologies, and they're coming, where literally you go in something the size of a phone booth, if you remember what a phone booth looked like.
I do.
And you get a scan, and it's probably not going to even be radioactive, and we can pick up something the size of a pin and know without even biopsying it if it's cancer or isn't cancer, very high probability cancer, and remove it sometimes non-surgically. That's where we're going in terms of very, very early detection and prevention. That ultimately is where the cure and the prevention will come from very, very early detection and from understanding who will get cancer and what are the behaviors we can adopt to prevent it. That's all coming, and it's coming soon.
I think one of the things about Pelotonia, now that you mentioned speed, is how quickly the money was divvied up. Sometimes with things, it seems like it takes years for everybody to decide where the money's going to go, who's going to get it, and why was this so quickly accomplished?
You know, when you have a comprehensive cancer center like we do at The Ohio State University, and we've got a great leader in Gordon Gee, we are committed. We are committed to getting this done. And we knew that if we get this money, we will put it to good use. We get ourselves peer-reviewed as a comprehensive cancer center. We had a process ready to go in the comprehensive cancer center once the money arrived. And we had great people committed. Like I mentioned, Jan Kuechel-Glaser, Gustavo Leone. Many people have been involved. Many, don't want to take the time to name all of them, but have been involved to get this thing going, hit the ground running, give out these idea grants, get these students awarded, advertise for the postdocs. Everybody, every scientist, every physician, every nurse, pharmacist, social worker, they're committed. They want to see a cancer-free world. So there's a lot of passion, a lot of energy to get going.
You were in at the ground floor. You helped develop the concept of the Pelotonia, right?
I did.
Was it from the Dana-Farber?
Yes. The story in a nutshell is that I was about to become the CEO of the James, and I was out in California. I trained at the Dana-Farber at Harvard Medical School, and I was with my former mentor, and we were walking along, and I said, I'd like to do something new when I become the CEO. Grassroots really involves the community. And he said, well, do you remember when you were here, which at that time was 20 years ago, do you remember the Pan Mass Challenge? I said, no, I don't remember. He said, well, I was a little thing then. It was 10 years old. He said, you know, last year what it raised? And I said, no. And he said, it raised $30 million in one weekend. And it was like a laser beam. I said, we have to do this. So I went home and I called my counterpart at the Dana-Farber, who's a good friend, Ed Benz, asked if I could speak to the founder of the Pan Mass Challenge, Billy Starr, called Billy, and, you know, got the logistics of what it would take. And he said, what it'll take is somebody to sponsor the whole event, and then you can really get going because you've got the perfect place to do it. Talked to Cindy Hilsheimer, who's on our foundation board, super committed, super connected individual. She talked to Dan Rosenthal, and this was at a party at the house of Janice Block. Dan Rosenthal was second in command at NetJets. Dan brought his team in, brought Rich Santulli in, and before we knew it, we had alignment. We were eyeing Tom Lennox for the executive directorship, and we were off and running.
Okay, we have to take a break. In the meantime, if you'd like to tell us your Pelotonia story, give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can Twitter us at Ann Fisher, WOSU, or go to our Facebook page, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have been talking with Dr. Michael Caligiuri. He will, I hope, hang around a little bit longer while we talk to a couple of the researchers who have benefited, whose work has benefited from Pelotonia proceeds. So stay tuned. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
My family and I moved here 3 years ago to take jobs at OSU working for the Department of Dance. The great thing about the local programming here at WOSU is it's taught us a lot about Columbus. But the national NPR programming, it gives us a sense of home in a new place. My name is Michael Wall, and WOSU is my source for a broader community.
And this is WOSU 820 NPR News. In 20 minutes and 11 o'clock, Hour 2 of All Sides will be here, and we'll hear a realistic portrait of life on a small family farm in Ohio, told through the voices of the children and their parents, along with author Michael Rosen, who wrote the story of the Bennett family. That discussion begins at 11 right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. And remember, it's simple and easy to renew your WOSU membership. Just visit our website, WOSU.org. Thank you for your support of WOSU Public Media. 73 degrees currently in downtown Columbus at 10:40 this morning. Clouds throughout most of the day, clearing this afternoon. There is also a slight chance of rain, a high of 83. Clear skies tonight, a low of 63 degrees, sunshine for Thursday, and a high of 88. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is WOSU 820 NPR News. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking about the Peletonia this weekend. It kicks off on Friday. Anybody can participate in the Peletonia, even if you want to line the streets and applaud the riders as they pass by. We've already spoken with Tom Lennox, the executive director of Peletonia. He has left the studio, but he left behind Dr. Michael Caligiuri. He is president and CEO of the OSU Comprehensive Cancer Center, James Cancer Hospital, and Soloff Research Institute. And also with us now, two beneficiaries, I guess, of the 2009 Peletonia proceeds, Dr. Peter Houghton. He's director of the Center for Childhood Cancer at the Research Institute at Nationwide Children's Hospital. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
Also, Dr. Dennis Guttridge. Dr. Guttridge is a professor in the Department of Molecular Virology, Immunology, and Medical Genetics at the OSU Comprehensive Cancer Center. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Ann. It's great to be here.
Are either of you riding in the Peletonia?
Yes,
I am as well.
Did you ride last year? Well, you just arrived.
That's right.
Last year, Dr. Houghton. What attracted you to Ohio? Was it the research money out there?
I think it was the enthusiasm that everyone showed for developing a very strong childhood cancer program here. Mike, in particular, was a major reason I came here.
So, Dr. Caligiuri.
Shucks.
My enthusiasm helps, but money's better. And I was wondering, Dr. Houghton, you moved here after 30 years with the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in Memphis. And I guess the reason why most of us know about that institution is because of its, you know, remarkable fundraising. You know, Danny Thomas, we grew with Danny Thomas, and there's Marlo Thomas now raising funds for it. What do you think of the Peletonia as a fundraiser?
I think it's a great start. I think it can only build and generate enormous funds for the Cancer Center at OSU.
Were you concerned? I mean, is funding a concern, a constant concern, or were you concerned when you came to Central Ohio that there wasn't something like the juggernaut at St. Jude's?
I think there's always a concern about funding. Ever since I came to the United States, it was, if you get through the next 3 years, things will get better. And it just goes in cycles. And things, I think, overall have not got better since the 1980s, apart from the period under President Clinton. So it's always a concern. It's always, how do I fund a new idea? And that's where Peletonia comes in, because as Mike said, a lot of NIH funding, National Institutes of Health, is rather conservative in terms of taking a new idea which is very unproven and then supporting that. And Peletonia allowed myself, for example, to put in an idea that I think is going to be, I think it's a good idea, and it will give us a year or 2 years to figure out whether this is something that can be expanded into a much larger grant.
Was this one of the idea grants?
It was, yes.
Tell us about your idea.
Well, the idea was, I suppose I can say this on the air, that Mike's office phoned me the day before saying I had been left off the email list of people who received information. So I had one day to put a grant in. And I thought, okay, I've got something that's pretty canned, it can go in. And I went home and I thought, I don't want to put that in. I've got this idea. We've got some very preliminary data. I got up at 3:30 in the morning, I wrote this thing and submitted it to Mike's office. And it's concerns a mutation in a gene that has been identified in a fairly benign, rare brain cancer in children. And we have evidence to suggest that inhibiting a pathway downstream of where this protein acts causes dramatic regressions in tumors that have this mutation. So the idea of the grant is to firstly understand the signaling pathway downstream and how this drug interacts, how it kills cancer cells, and then how cancer cells circumvent that, how they find a way to become resistant.
So, Dr. Caligiuri, when you receive a proposal like this for an idea grant, what does it look like?
Well, these are – we want people to get it out quickly. These
right.
are three-page, single-space, give us the references. And, of course, we want your biographical sketch because it's, you know, not only who you are, it's what have you done lately. You know, are you a productive, active scientist? Do you have other peer-reviewed funding to support the notion that, you know, if given the chance, you can make it? You know, we look at these proposals and we look at the individual and we say, you know, is this something that if funded is going to lead to improvement in outcomes, is going to lead to a big grant, is going to lead to a very important publication? And if the answer is yes, it gets a high mark.
It's great. People are telling us to follow our gut reaction.
Yeah.
And you did that, Dr.
Yeah. Andy Geiger used to tell me that, you know, former athletic director, he'd say, go with your gut. And Peter did that, and you know, we encourage our scientists to do that. That's what this is all about. You're hitting the nail on the head.
Was there a lot of that in the idea grant
proposals? Oh, yeah. And you know, sadly, we couldn't. We had at least 25 we wanted to fund. We could only fund about 10 or 12. You know, it's not a matter of the others not being good. It's you never get that.
I mean, many proposals were there? About?
There were, I think, about 40. You know, which is phenomenal. And on the one hand, it's phenomenal. On the other hand, it's sad. You know, there's a lot of work out there that can be done that could be your tumor, the breakthrough you need. You know, we have some cancers now which are literally put into remission for decades with a pill that before there was no treatment or you needed a bone marrow transplant, you would die from the complications with a 50% chance of mortality. They're treated with a pill now. Those come from these aha moments. And very often, the difference between having the pill and not having the treatment are things like idea grants, where someone took an interest early on and said, you know what? I think we have something here. We should give some money to this.
It makes you wonder how many – I mean, that whole idea, the idea of doing it, how long do you think you might have gone on with that idea and not acted on it if it hadn't been for that 3:30 in the morning? Wait a minute. I'm going to rewrite this.
I think it's probable that it would be put on the back burner.
For who knows how long.
Yeah, it's a really intriguing area. I think, you know, as Mike said, this cancer, I believe, will be treated with a pill. We just want to keep one step ahead so that if we get a mutation that gives resistance, we understand that and we can give another pill. And that's, I think, the way cancer therapy is developing.
And, you know, everybody's cancer, every cancer, you know, you hear about this cancer, astrocytoma, it's rare cancer. It's rare until you get it. And so we don't really, we kind of keep a blind eye to whether something is rare or frequent. It's all about, do you have a reasonable hypothesis that is a rationale to attack this or to develop a prevention strategy for this or to improve exercise or diet, anything that's feasible regardless of the cancer. We really don't think about which cancer it is.
I was going to ask you about that, about why not glom onto one thing and throw all the money you can at it and see what happens.
That would be probably unwise in that – and that's – it's just to step back a second. That's one of the reasons why we fund what's called basic – very basic research. You're going to talk to Dennis Guttridge in a minute here, and you know he's going to tell you he works on muscle development. And you might say, muscle development?
Yeah, I really need to know more about what he does.
Who care about that? Well, he's had some amazing discoveries in a disease called rhabdomyosarcoma, which is a cancer of the muscle. But he really works on muscle development. But he was able to then move there. So to kind of focus in, say, on leukemia – you know, it you really got to cover – that's what a great university does. It really covers all the gamuts because you never know where the breakthrough is going to come from. It could come from physics.
614-292-8513. And Nancy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Ann. Let's hope that President Obama is listening here in Clintonville and maybe Ted Strickland because I do have some ideas. Like everyone else, my family's been – stricken with cancer, and my dad died 30 years ago, come August 25th, of lung cancer. Probably. He had stopped smoking. He used to joke and say, damn it, Nancy, you got me to stop smoking. And then 5 years later, I got lung cancer. But he had volunteered to clean out a storeroom at National Graphics and probably inhaled carcinogens. And he died because they couldn't remove a small encapsulated adenocarcinoma in his lung. And it was really tragic. They chose not to resect aorta in his lung. And after all the chemotherapy and the radiation, he died. And it took about a year, and it was horrible, and it seemed so tragic. And then I had an aunt die of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma after she retired. But more than that, I've had family members, and this is what I want to tell President Obama, my Irish setters, Heather, once we got defrauded out of our house and my mom had to rent, landlords used lawn chemicals, pesticides, we never did at home. And they had my dog got an inexplicable cancer called cutaneous lymphosarcoma, which has been linked to 2,4-D, and I couldn't save her. And then my other Irish setter later in life got lung cancer. And then my mom rescued a mini schnauzer from a puppy mill, and I showed this dog to Ted the last time I saw him to try to get him to support the puppy mill bill. And the mini schnauzer died of oral melanoma. And, you know, I've been fighting from the viewpoint of the dog as sentinel. I know the Wexners have lost a
kind of the canary in the coal mine kind of a thing?
I beg your pardon?
Like a canary in a coal mine sort of a thing?
Yeah, right. They're the sentinel. And the reason I wanted to talk to President Obama, the First Lady has got it right with her organic garden, but they need to go a step further and make the whole White House lawn organic. And I've been working with Jeannie Schultz, and even though she's Republican and I'm a Democrat, she donated Snoopy to my nonprofit environmental group, the Rachel Carson Council, to be the spokesdog against pesticides.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've seen them spray pesticides at the University Hospital, and it made me think of the Thurber line.
Yeah.
You cut down elm trees to build institutions for people driven insane by the cutting down of elm trees. It seems rather preposterous. Now, we did get the hospitals to go cigarette-free, and Dr. Havener helped do that. But I was looking at an article about an epidemiologist who needs to be praised. His name was Dr. Richard Doll, D-O-L-L. And in 1947, he discovered the link between cigarette smoking and lung cancer. But think about that. It was 1947. Look how long it took to get the Surgeon General to put it on the pack of cigarettes that they were dangerous.
Hey, Nancy, I don't want to interrupt you. You're always interesting, but I do want to talk to Dr. Guttridge about his research.
I'd just like to comment. I mean, these are all very interesting points, and I'm happy to tell you that Ohio State University from Departments of Epidemiology and the Veterinary College, where we both treat and do research, we're researching all of these questions, looking for answers. And you're right. I hope President Obama's listening. He's given a little more money to the NIH, went from 30 billion to 31 billion this year. But there needs to be more, and we need to inspire the next generation of students to attack some of the problems you're bringing up. Thank you for the call.
Nancy, thanks a lot for your call. I appreciate it. Take care. Dr. Guttridge, tell us about it, because when I was reading the descriptions of your research, I got muscle out of it, and after that I fell off.
Right.
And had to get, tell us about what.
Well, actually, muscle's our starting point.
Okay.
And no matter who you talk to in research and what they're doing, if it's their interest is in cancer, most of them or all of them are going to tell you that in order to study what they're studying, they need a model system to try to address and get answers to the questions that they're after. And so for us, muscle is the system we started because we're interested in differentiation. And what often happens in cancer is that a cell that is supposed to be specialized and have a special function in whatever tissue is in the body can sometimes become undifferentiated. And that really helps the cancer progress and become more aggressive. And the particular protein that we study, we've found tends to promote that process that keeps that cell in an undifferentiated state. Muscle is a great tissue to study because in a culture dish or in another model system, you can easily watch these cells become differentiated. So it's a good system to study the protein that we're interested in.
Why is it with muscle that it's easy to watch?
Well, it has a very well-characterized molecular program where you can clearly start with more of what we call a progenitor cell that's in that undifferentiated state, similar to what people think sometimes is a stem cell and could be the origin of some cancers. and you can watch that cell in your culture conditions in your laboratory setting become more differentiated. It stops growing. It becomes a specialized cell, such as what we'd have in all our limbs or diaphragm or everything that we depend on muscle in our body to do is to contract and to support our bone structure. And that's a normal cell. That is what it's supposed to do. When it becomes undifferentiated, it can take on a variety of other properties and not become what it's supposed to do, and that's sometimes shared in cancer cells.
Did you apply for an IDEA grant? Is that what you received as well?
I did. So I think Mike put it very well in terms of what we face every day in being researchers and how we fund our research. We're very dependent, obviously, on the National Institutes of Health. And Mike also explained very well that usually in order to get these grants from the NIH, you have to present an enormous amount of data, and this takes years to accumulate. Because of our funding climate, they tend to want to fund safer grants. So we have in our possession a compound that is actually what we think is a good inhibitor of our protein that we think is the root of many cancers. And we have preliminary data, and it looks good. But in order to be able to try to get national funding, it would take a lot more effort and a lot more years and commitment. And what Palutonia is doing is basically providing me the opportunity in my lab and with collaborators we're going to have on this project to move faster. And that's what we ultimately want to get. I think Palutonia is saying we're providing you the resources to move your ideas faster to the clinic to cure people. And NIH is also, that's the same idea, but it just takes longer to do so.
What exactly does the Palutonia money buy you at this point? Just more people?
It can. You can with the grant, you can put an ad out and you can hire somebody. In my case, it's going to give me the flexibility to take workers that are already in my group. And again, it's not just myself doing this research. The IDEA Award is me partnering up with a medicinal chemist in the School of Pharmacy, Dr. Chen, who's going to be synthesizing our compound, as well as two other cancer researchers to be able to do that.
That was Dr. Dennis Guttridge. Thank you so much for being with us today. I appreciate it. Also, Dr. Michael Caligiuri, he is president and CEO of the OSU James Cancer Hospital. Thanks for being with us today, Doctor.
My pleasure, Ann.
And Dr. Peter Houghton, he is just celebrating his year anniversary at OSU. Thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Take care. We've been talking about Palutonia today. We have all kinds of information on our website. Right now, that's all we have for All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.